Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word this evening is the lesson I read for you just a moment ago, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7, particularly where it says, "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, from our hymn book, these words, "With the Lord, begin your task. Jesus will direct it. For his aid and counsel ask. Jesus will perfect it. Every morn with Jesus rise. And when day is ended, in his name then close thine eyes. Be to him commended." I have to laugh when I go to my boxing class that I do for people with Parkinson's, and we're all about the same age range. We're all of us in our 60s or 70s. There's a couple beyond that and a couple below that, but mostly in our 60s and 70s. And what I have to laugh at is our names. Especially for the men. In our class, we have three Bills. I'm one of them. We have three Mikes. We have two Daves. We have two Johns. We have two Richards. We have two Dennises. I'm going to get my list right here. We have Mark, Glenn, Kurt, Bob, Don, Steve, Randy, and Tom. Now, here's the test. Can you figure out what the popular baby boy names were in the late 1950s and early 60s? They're all right there, aren't they? Good, solid, we'd say, American names. There you go. Well, we have something very similar in Isaiah chapter 9, because Isaiah 9 is what you might call a birth announcement. I don't know if people still send those out anymore, by email probably, but a birth announcement. And this is the announcement. Open it up, and what does it say? "For to us a child is born, and to us a," now you know, "a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." It's a birth announcement. And on the cover it says, "It's a boy." It's a boy. And not only that, we've even picked out some names for him. These are the names that the boy will have: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And right about that point, we all say, "No, wait a sec, slow down. Slow down. I can understand Mike, I can understand Dave, I can understand Tom, and of course all of us have great hopes for our kids when they're born. They're going to be this, or they're going to do that, or they're going to achieve that. But I wonder if those names from Isaiah 9 are a little ambitious. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Ambitious names? Well, for you and me, yes. But not for him, of course, because of who he was. He is God the Son. And not only that, consider the work that he would have to do. It said the government will be upon his shoulder. In other words, he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And not only that, he'll be the Savior. He'll do what no regular person could ever do, and that is atone for all the huge mountain of the sin of the human race. Those names are not ambitious. They are wonderful. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. They're necessary names for the work that he had to do, for the person that he was. And they're a comfort to us as well. Take tonight's name: Wonderful Counselor. If you have been watching the news or been on the internet, you know that right about now, our president-elect has been choosing his cabinet. choosing his cabinet, and those cabinet advisors are also choosing their advisors and their experts that they turn to. And sooner or later, you're going to see on the news, the president has his cabinet, and he's sitting in the middle of a long table, and all of his advisors are lined up on either side. And you have to have all those advisors because why? There is no one person in this world, I don't care how smart you are or how experienced you are or how savvy you are, no matter how many letters are behind your name, there's no way that any one person could negotiate all the things that a president has to make decisions about. You just don't have the ability to do it. Can you solve foreign affairs, foreign conflicts, the economy, the environment, social unrest, government spending? You are going to need what? Not just yourself, but a host of counselors and experts. And you hope that they're good ones, because if not, you're going to be in trouble. You hope that they're good ones, otherwise, you're in trouble. Now, we ordinary Christians often make a mistake. We make a mistake and we say, well, that's not me. I'm not president of the United States. I don't run a big company. I'm not a military general. Those people are operating on a different level. I'm just an ordinary person. And because I'm just an ordinary person, maybe I don't need a wonderful counselor. Maybe I don't need that because, well, let's be honest, I'll figure things out. I've done it before. I'll do it again. I know the way. I've got the experience. I've done this before, and of course, the most famous one of them all. What could possibly go wrong? What could possibly go wrong? And then you open your Bible, and the Bible says, wait a second, you slow down now. It's your turn to slow down. Slow down. Is the devil not around anymore? Did he leave town? Slow down. The world isn't full of deceptions anymore. It's not full of frauds and temptations and pitfalls. Slow down. Are you so strong in your faith and your knowledge of the Lord that nothing will affect you and you'll just skate through and you'll be fine? Slow down. I don't know about you or what your Bible says, but my Bible says this. If anyone thinks he stands, can you finish the verse? If anyone thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And so you find yourself in a very strange position. You can look at the president of the United States and what do they have to face? Well, they got to face the Middle East. And they got to deal with Russia. And they got a fence with China. And they got problems with North Korea. And those are problems because those nations are clever and they're dangerous and they could start a war. But they're not as clever and dangerous as your enemies, as the devil, the world, and your own sinful heart, because those three can send you right to hell and you'll be there forever. What do you need? Well, I'm just an ordinary person. Yes, you are. But what do you need? You need a counselor. You need a consultant. You need an advisor, but not just a counselor, consultant, or advisor. You need a wonderful counselor, a wonderful consultant, a wonderful advisor. Now, understand that when folks in the Old Testament used the word wonderful, they did not speak in the same way that we do. You come up to a good friend and they've been sick and they say, hey, I'm better now. And you say, what? Oh, wonderful. But if you look in your Old Testament, the word pele, which means wonderful, is not just a phrase or not just something that you exclaim. It actually means that there is a wonder here. There is a miracle here. There's something that makes your jaw drop. It can only have come from God. Wonderful counselor. You might think in the Old Testament of who? King Solomon. And what happens with King Solomon? He has a visitor. Who's the visitor? The Queen of Sheba comes to visit him. And what does she do? She just stares. And then finally she says, the reports I heard about you do not even match the reality. The words that come out of your mouth, your wisdom, how blessed are all of your servants who get to listen to you day in and day out. Where did that come from? That came from the Lord. It wasn't his smarts. It wasn't his wisdom. It was something that came from the Lord. But once again, Solomon needed that. Why? Because he had to run a nation. But what do you have to do? You have to do something more. You have to face something more. More than just a country to run. And because you face something more, you're going to need more than just a miracle. You're going to need the one who does the miracles. You need the good Lord himself if you're going to make it through to life everlasting. Too much opposition to the evil one, too much opposition to the world, too much opposition of your own sinful heart. Lord, I need a wonderful counselor. They knew that in the Old Testament, Psalm 105. Look to the Lord. Look to his strength. Seek his face always. Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. 1 Peter chapter 5, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Philippians chapter 4. Why does the Bible say that over and over again? It says it because you need a wonderful counselor to make it through. Because if you face what you face, which you do, and if he is who he is, which he is, there is only one inescapable conclusion, that he is your wonderful counselor. You seek his counsel in his holy word. You seek his counsel in prayer. It's got to be every day with the Lord. Begin your task. Jesus will direct it. For his aid and counsel ask, Jesus will perfect it. Every morn with Jesus rise, and when day is ended, in his name, then close thine eyes and be to him commended. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.